Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for this day of resurrection is taken from the 24th chapter of Luke, where we hear the angel's message, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." Friends in Christ, this morning I invite you to come and see the tomb of Jesus. We won't be alone on our walk. Some women who were close to Jesus are committed to getting to his grave shortly after sunrise. They are Mary, the mother of James, Joanna, wife of Chusa, the steward of Herod, Mary Magdalene, and Salome, the mother of James and John. They're going early because the task of preparing a dead body is always unpleasant work. But when that body has been lying in the Judean heat for 3 days, well, the work is unbearable. Let's follow them as they make the heartbreaking trip to Jesus' grave. Was it only Thursday when Jesus had been betrayed by Judas with a kiss? Things had moved so quickly after that. Jesus had been taken to trial. Yes, a nighttime trial was illegal, but it had happened, hadn't it? They were certain the witnesses against their rabbi had been bribed, but no one had voiced a complaint. Even the charges against Jesus had kept changing, but nobody had spoken on his behalf. And their hearts had been torn in two when Pilate had put Jesus whipped and crowned with thorns on public display. They had stood at the foot of the cross, an honor guard of love committed to keeping watch. If those whom Jesus had healed and fed were not there, they would stay. Keeping watch as they would have noted the moment of Jesus' death. They watched as he was taken down, went to see where he was buried, noted the preparation of his body for burial was richly but incompletely done. And that was when they would have pledged, "After the Sabbath day, we will make sure Jesus' body is cared for the right way." We're approaching the tomb. You see, there's no guard on duty. No, you don't have to tell the ladies. Up to this point, they've only been concerned about moving the stone. I don't think they've heard how the Jewish leaders went to Pilate and got permission to put a guard and seal a watch at the grave's door to discourage body snatchers. Look, the ladies have noticed. The grave is open. They've noticed, and right now their minds are probably going a million miles a minute. They're wondering, is it possible that the tomb's owner could have had second thoughts about loaning this grave to Jesus? Has somebody moved Jesus' body? If so, where did they put it? Has someone stolen the body? Should we report this to the authorities? If we do, will they show any willingness to help find the body? Could his enemies have wished to desecrate the body of the man that they murdered? Which is why, fearing the worst, the ladies gather their courage and enter Jesus' grave. And they saw a young man sitting on the right side of the walk-in tomb. He was dressed in a white robe. They were alarmed, and he said to them, "Don't be afraid. You seek Jesus of Nazareth who was crucified. He is risen. Christ has risen." Jesus, according to his own prophecy and completing his own prediction, had kept his promise. Before he had been arrested, he had said, "I lay down my life that I may take it up again." It was an outrageous statement, one that no man would ever be able to keep. But Jesus was no mere man. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. He had been born to fulfill the laws we have broken, to triumph over Satan's temptation, and to conquer death. Now, with his mission successfully completed, they had proof that Jesus was God's Son and that everything he had said to him was the truth. Christ is risen. Christ is risen. Do you know what that means? Do you know any Christians who have died? Because Jesus is risen, when those folks stopped breathing and their hearts stopped pumping and their brains stopped thinking and their organs stopped functioning, when all movement came to an end, when the best doctors in the world shook their heads and said, "There's nothing else we can do," a risen Christ came and took the soul of that believer to be with him. Because of a risen Christ, we can assure those who mourn, because Jesus lives, your loved one also lives. We can tell them that the farewell that they said is not final. We can promise them an eternal reunion with these forgiven souls, not to mention a physical resurrection at the end of days. Christ is risen. Do you know what that means? Right now, many of you are worried and frightened and stressed out. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. You're not sure of your job, your family, your finances, your future. But because Christ has risen, you need not face tomorrow's unknowns alone. The living Lord offers this assurance: "I am with you always." And even more, Scripture assures us that we can cast our cares on him because he cares for us. And even more than that, because he lives, he can come when you call. And even more than that, think of the power he has. Power over death itself. The one who has that power is fundamentally for you and will use that power to help you. Christ is risen. Do you know what that means? Are you troubled by the wrong that you've done? The good that you've left undone? A risen Christ forgives you. The Apostle John lists no exceptions when he says to those who believe in a risen Redeemer, "The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." All sin. Christ is risen. Do you know what that means? Pastor Ken Klaus, former Lutheran Hour speaker, once wrote, "Last year, from the basement of my home in St. Louis, I watched a great storm. Some said it was a tornado. I don't know about that. I do know that it knocked down some pretty big trees in our backyard. Through my basement window, while this all was happening, I watched a sparrow cling to a tree limb, facing into the wind, and the storm swept the branch back and forth, but that little bird stayed solid. And as I watched, I imagined that bird thinking, 'Wind, blow as hard as you want. If you dislodge me from this branch, I've still got wings.' Because Christ is risen, you can look at sin, you can look at death, you can look at the disasters of life and say, blow as hard as you want, you may dislodge me from where I am now, but I still have wings. I have Jesus Christ. With faith in a living Lord, I either hang tight or fly to him. Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus Christ, on this Easter morning, we are reminded yet again that your power over sin, death, and Satan is absolute. And not only are you that powerful, but you use that power not for yourself, but on behalf of your people who you have gathered to yourself. We can have this Easter confidence and poise and peace because you have defeated our greatest enemy. Help us to daily die to sin and rise to newness of life, knowing that at every moment we are yours. We praise you, our risen Savior, Lord Jesus. Amen.